Welcome to World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN. I'm David Dye.
The Barr Brothers are a band from Montreal, Canada, made up of brothers Brad and Andrew Barr, who are also members of the Boston-based indie rock band The Slip, along with harpist Sarah Page and multi-instrumentalist Andreas Vial. They are both Montreal natives. How did the Barr Brothers end up in Montreal? Well, we'll get that story and more after this performance of Beggar in the Morning from the debut album from the Barr Brothers.
Steady woman, won't you come on down? I need you right here on the ground. I've walked the outskirts of this town, been terrorized by what I've found. I saw a standing virgin bride, where holy Dionysus died. Tore the heart out of his side and laid it there, and there she cried. Oh, 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 oh. I'm a monster too, and what poisons me is what poisons you. Into these animals we grew, but when we own our eyes were blue. I take my medicine on my knee twice a day, but lately three. It keeps the devil from my door, and it makes me rich and it makes me poor. I'm a beggar in the morning, I'm a king at night. My belt is loose and my trigger is tight. May come without warning, at the speed of light, to make it shine so pretty, make it shine so bright. Oh, know my dreams, my hopes and desires and my fears. We may capsize, but we won't drown. We'll hold each other as the sun goes down. I'm a beggar in the morning, I'm a king at night. My belt is loose and my trigger is tight. May come without warning, at the speed of light. Make it shine so pretty, make it shine so bright.
The Barr Brothers are our guests on the World Cafe today, and that is the song that leads off their album called Bigger in the Morning. And one could describe this as a guitar, keyboards, drums, and harp band. But so I'm sitting here watching all the different things you're playing, the different things you're doing. You got some loops going on over there. The keyboard is a pump organ. It has a wonderful sound to it. Brad, you figured out a way of getting this enormous kind of plucked sustain out of your guitar. I don't even know what you're doing with that.
Yeah, it's sort of a mysterious little trick that I notice a lot of people looking kind of puzzled looks as I do it. It's a sort of, I want to say, Eastern European musician technique of tying a string onto your guitar, and it creates a bowing sound, kind of like this.
And from afar, you can't see the string, so you just look like a magician.
It looks like I'm gesturing pretentiously.
Well, as I mentioned, I knew Brad, you and Andrew from The Slip, which I understand still exists. Every so often, you guys go out and play, right?
Yeah.
But the Barr Brothers is a completely different thing, and I guess we have to. It starts in Montreal, but not because you went to Montreal to form a band.
No, quite the opposite. We were there with a band playing a show at a venue, and I happened to meet a girl, and I guess it's a long story, but the short version is I moved up there for her, and Brad followed suit a couple weeks later, and we found ourselves in this new city full of amazing musicians and a really vibrant art scene.
You left out the fire, but that's okay.
There was a fire. There was a fire in the club, and sprinklers were going off, and the instruments were getting covered. We grabbed our instruments. We ran outside, and this girl who I had caught my eye was sitting there kind of in the rain. She was a waitress at the venue, and so I gave her a sweatshirt, and I got her address, and I wrote her a postcard from Ireland a month later, and I forgot to put my name on it, and then I got drunk and lost my passport, my address book, and couldn't find her, and it took me a year to track her down. And a year later,
you probably had her on the sweatshirt. Who knows? But then another wonderfully serendipitous thing happened for you, Brad. You moved up there. And your apartment was next door to Sarah's?
Exactly, yep. I discovered pretty soon after moving in that my next door neighbor was a harp player, and I learned this because I'd hear her practicing through my bedroom wall. It was right on opposite of her practice room, so every morning I'd hear this lush harp music filtered through the drywall, but still lush nonetheless and sweet.
Sarah, what are the options for a harpist? I would think they would be pretty much have to do with orchestral things and some chamber music.
Yeah. At the time, I was in school and I was working in orchestras and performing a lot of chamber music and working on competitions and things like that. But I did start. I started experimenting. Montreal is a pretty good scene for kind of experimental improvisation. Mm-hmm. and not limited to jazz. There's a lot of contemporary musicians and contemporary chamber ensembles that are interested in improvisation. So I started doing a lot of that, and I actually was at school with Andreas, and there's a pretty good scene of pop musicians who are really highly trained up there too. So I knew a lot of jazz and pop musicians from schools, and I'd play around town with them a lot too.
And Brad, how did you end up, obviously you didn't break down the wall, but how did you end up conniving to meet Sarah?
I was laying in bed one morning and hear this really simple little beautiful melody coming through the wall.
Do you know what you were playing?
We still don't know what it was, but I was working on a competition at the time where I was preparing the Mozart Flute and Harp Concerto. I was working on it for about a year, like maybe 4 or 5 hours a day. I'd be practicing it.
That's probably the one.
It's got to be that. But I swear I've gone through that thing from front to back, and I've never heard this melody.
Take this little melody. I hear her playing it, and I grab the guitar, and I learned this little melody as best I could. And once I thought I had it figured out, I went and knocked on her door and introduced myself and said, "Hey, I'm Brad. I'm next door neighbor, and I've been listening to you play the harp." And I sort of ripped off this little melody, or learned it from you. So check it out. And I kind of, played this little song for her, and she just had no idea what I was playing at all. It was just sort of a blank look, and I, scratched my head and walked home and decided that if she didn't claim it and didn't have any idea where it came from, that I was just going to take the little part that I learned and turn it into a song, which I did, and that sort of became our first song. I went back and knocked on the door and taught it to her, and we've been playing that. It's actually part of our repertoire still.
So we don't know the source material, but... Brad, what was the song that came out of that?
I ended up titling it Sarah Through the Wall. And we have recorded it. It's available when you download our record from iTunes. It's sort of a bonus track. And I also put it on a sort of a solo instrumental CD that I put out in 2007 called The Fall Apartment. Solo instrumental acoustic guitar, something like that.
Does the way you approach writing for this group, I'm sort of wondering, Brad, if you, because you do most of the writing, do you end up writing specifically for this ensemble?
I did, yeah, actually. A lot of the songs on our album that we're carrying around with us were influenced by what I sort of imagined could be done by a harp and a guitar. I'd say about half of them were really just by myself, but a bunch of them are, with the harp in mind and the pump organ in mind. It's a nice way to write, at least. Well, I've found it's the way I write, is to sort of conceive of the people, the instruments, the personalities involved, and imagine what everyone would like to do and what I'd like to do. I write a lot of different styles, so this band is a really particular thing.
And I guess you've got to explore a lot more about what the harp can do. I mean, because a lot of people, put a harp in a band, we're going to do glissandos on every song. And I guess you decided not to do that.
I told her to do that at first, and she's like, "No way, man, I'm not playing. Yeah. No more glissandos." In Sarah, I recognized, some entirely different. I mean, I never conceived of playing, writing with or playing with a harpist, so it was pretty new thing, and I didn't actually even know what a glissando was until Sarah did her first one.
Right.
I just kind of saw it as another guitar, really, or another giant thing with strings that could actually far exceed the guitar's range, and what she's able to do on that harp. Really inspired a lot and reminded me a lot of some of the West African music that had been so present in mine and Andrew's
Kora
music, exactly. In fact, Sarah had studied with a Kora player and really gravitated to a lot of those rhythms and ostinatos, and the spirit of just trance, playing a trance like loop over and over. And so this stuff just sort of was very natural to all of us.
Sarah, I'm realizing that there might be people out there who don't know what we're talking about when we say a glissando. I guess you think dream sequence, right?
Yeah, it is a classic dream sequence sound, and it's something only a harp can do, because we have these pedals that allow us to set all our strings to whatever we choose, so I can have all kinds of strings set to the same pitch, so I could set my whole harp to one chord and you get that classic dream sequence. And you can even change it as you're going.
Star Wars.
Yeah, it gets very weird.
Or we're not in Kansas anymore.
Yeah. That's the Glissando magic wand. Spectacular.
The Barr Brothers are our guests, and we're hearing some of the tunes from their album. And what do you want to do next?
I want to do one called Old Mythologies.
That one's called Old Mythologies, as Barr Brothers are playing live for us today on The Cafe. This album has a couple of interesting kind of departures. There's a Blind Willie Johnson song you guys do. Mm-hmm. And there's another one that kind of stretches out. It sounds a little bluesy, but it reminds me a little bit more of something from North Africa, something from Mali or something like that. Is that an influence on? Is that? I'm sort of asking Sarah. Is that part of? Did you play Cora at some point?
Yeah, actually, I found. I found another neighbor of mine who was a Cora player. I feel like most of my musical connections have been neighbors. Like Andy and I, actually, before Andy was part of this band, I moved in next to him, and he would hear Brad come over and practice these songs through his wall. And then one day I moved again, and I was walking down the street, and there was this woman out on her balcony playing the Cora, and I'd never seen or heard one live before, and it was just the most amazing sound. And I kind of just stopped on the street and I asked her if I could come up there, and she started teaching me, and that's been a real influence for me on how to approach this music, because a lot of the time Brad will bring songs into the group, especially the more blues oriented ones, that I really just feel like I have no idea how to approach on the harp, because I haven't really heard harp play jazz or blues in a way that
you can't
I
really bend yet. You can't really bend a note, can you?
Oh yeah, you can.
Oh, you can. Oh, okay. Can, anyways, never mind.
You can do a little.
That's true.
But but certainly the Cora is and Malian music is kind of the desert blues are the roots of a lot of that music, and so it gave me a different source of inspiration to kind of start researching in order to find my way into this music a little bit.
Well, the song on here is called Give the Devil Back His Heart, and did it grow out of kind of a jammy situation, or did you write this first?
I wrote this sitting on my couch, actually. I had the one riff and then found a counterpart. So that's how this one came out. Two pretty simple parts that have a dialogue, and to me that's what a lot of the West African music is about. It's finding a couple of simple parts that once they're integrated sound like this whole polyrhythmic trip that it's been a big inspiration. Andrew and I, growing up in Providence in Boston, there was actually a really healthy Malayan scene of musicians who were coming over and performing and doing drum workshops and teaching and stuff. So throughout our late teenage years and 20s, we were hanging out with a lot of these guys, and it rubbed off a lot. Andrew went to Mali and studied over there. And so it's been a huge source for us of inspiration and something to draw from.
Cool. Do you want to do this one?
Yeah. Yeah. Give the devil back his heart.
Take nothing to the heat.
Give the Devil Back His Heart. That is the Barr Brothers playing live for us today. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
I'm David Dye. World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN is produced at WXPN in Philadelphia. If you'd like to hear more of our World Cafe sessions and get daily cafe alerts, you can sign up at our website at worldcafe.npr.org. As always, thanks for spending your time with the World Cafe.